You are listening to a live broadcast from Faith Worship Center in Portia, Arkansas.
Exodus chapter 1, we'll read verse number 22 and then read, we're going to filter down through chapter number 2. And the Bible says, "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put it, the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to witness what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself in the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side, and when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent the maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. She had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to you a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her to her a son. And she called his name Moses and said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" And this morning, I want to minister, and it's a difficult maybe to stay with my title. I don't know. I always teach these coming up. Your title needs to be what we continue to come back to. That's what we want to leave you with. And so it's it all revolves around my thought this morning, my title, but there's several different truths that I want to bring out. I want to say this before we get started is simply this, again, because I try to be careful. There's some of you that have visited with me, that has talked with me, and I know your situation, but again, I don't never cater a message according to your situation. I honestly do try to find the mind of the Lord. And this morning, even though I know a little bit about maybe what something is going on, a situation in your life, I think I'd be wrong if I went anywhere else. And so this morning, I want to minister to you simply the example of Jochebed. The example of Jochebed. Will you bow your head and will you help me pray? Father, I love you this morning. I thank you, God, for your grace and for your mercy and love. And I'm grateful, Lord, for the opportunity to be able, my Lord, I feel your presence already, to be able to stand here, Lord, and to minister your already anointed word. I'm asking you to open our ears, Lord, to hear, our hearts to receive. And Lord, anoint my lips, God, to deliver your already anointed word. I understand the task before me is greater, Lord, than what I'm able to accomplish on my own. So I ask for your help, and I know that you're faithful to hear our prayer this morning. Lord, do a work that I cannot do, and I'll be very careful to give you the praise, the glory, and honor in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says, amen. I want to begin this morning in this way, and just I feel that this needs to be said as we get into the story, and I'm going to dive right into it. But when encouraging a believer to trust in the Lord, it's always right to mention the situations or trials that we're going through. That's why we need encouragement. Amen? No matter what we're facing or no matter what we're going through, we mention the great fight of faith because it is there. That's where we live. That's where we're at. But also we have to be careful that we don't give more glory and testimony to the trial than we do to the Lord and Him giving us victory. Amen? I know that sometimes, and it's easy to take it this way, and sometimes that it's easy to look at it this way, that, well, we come to live for God, and now I'm truly having, the trials have come, there's a great trial of faith, and it's just doom and gloom. But the honest truth is that living for God is not doom and gloom this morning. The truth is that it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Now, I got anybody saved this morning? It's a good life living for the Lord. God is good, and God is a blessing God, and God has given us more than what we could ever deserve. And when we're talking to the believer that has gone through a great trial, I've never heard a believer that's went through a great trial look and tell me, hey, I enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed it. But I have heard them over and over tell me this. I don't want to go back through it, but I wouldn't trade what I learned from the Lord for anything in the world. Because the spiritual maturity that we gain through going through the trial with our faith in Christ and what He accomplished on the cross of Calvary is something that the world can never give us, and something that we could never, let me say it like this, that we could never mature into without the Lord allowing a little bit of a trial. And so this morning, truth is, and I'm going to try to encourage us, the truth is, whether you're a believer or not, you're going to have trials. Whether you're a believer or not, you're going to have trials. This world is full of trouble. And I've heard it said, and you have too, the age-old question, how do people make it without the Lord? I'll tell you how they make it without the Lord. They make it through depression. They make it with great sorrow. They make it with just trying to skimp by. They make it in an empty state. They make it with no hope. They're just making it. They're just existing. But how do people make it with the Lord? I want you to know they make it with their faith placed in Christ and what He's done on the cross of Calvary. They make it with a flowing of grace. They make it with the help of the Holy Spirit. They make it with joy. They make it with grace. They make it with peace. They make it with the Holy Spirit there leading, guiding, and directing them into all truth. I want you to know living for God is truly not just life, but life more abundantly, which is a life with an advantage. I've got an advantage. I've got the Lord leading me to the rock that is higher than what I am, because God is able to sustain me. Amen. I'm not just making it. I'm living. I'm living. And I'm going through it held on to the hand that is able to give me great strength as we go through it. The believer that places their faith in Christ has the advantage, the help of the Holy Spirit. I want to jump right into the text because there's several different things that I want to bring out here. The decree had come. Pharaoh had made the decree that all of the male children, and that's why I backed up to chapter number 1, all of the male children needed to be put to death and all of the women could be kept alive. There was a reason for this that Pharaoh had, and there was also a reason that Satan had, the enemy of our soul, had for this. Here's what you need to know about this first truth is simply this. Pharaoh's intent, his mindset was this: if we kill all of the male children, then we will weaken the people of Israel so that they don't become greater than us and will not be able to overtake us. But the intent of the enemy working through Pharaoh was this: if I kill all of the male children, David will never be born, and then the seed of David will never be born, and I can stop the Messiah, the promised one, from coming here to redeem all of mankind. I want you to know Pharaoh not only failed, but the enemy of your soul failed. There is one that was born that is able to redeem us, and His name is Jesus Christ. There was a woman named Jochebed, and that, as far as anything I can look up, is the correct pronunciation of her name. Her name in the Hebrew means Jehovah glorified, God be glorified. And I want you to know that through her life, God was greatly glorified. Very little is said about Jochebed. In fact, if we look on Exodus chapter number 6, and again somewhere else, and I can't recall it, but in Exodus chapter number 6 and verse number 20, her name is mentioned there, but it's only mentioned in the genealogy as the wife of Amram. That's it. We know little about this woman at all, but what she done, the example that she left for you and I, is a great and a powerful example that we can be very, very encouraged from today. We learn enough from her to glean from this example. We learn this, that she is the daughter of Levi. The daughter of Levi meant that she was from the lineage of the Levitical priesthood that would be declared under when Moses would take control and charge of the children of Israel. Because of Pharaoh's decree, she was brought to a place that trusting in God would become her only option. She didn't have another option. She didn't have another out. She didn't have another avenue. She had to trust in the Lord. And because she wanted to save her child, and I want you to know this morning, I can only imagine, and literally, I can only imagine what would it be like knowing that your baby boy was going to become and ripped out of your hands and thrown into the Nile River. But we have a woman that refused. It's just not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And Jochebed here in the text, we read the story. She was brought to a place that she would have to trust in the Lord because that was her only option. Sadly today, most everyone, every believer, I want you to think about what I'm about to say, has been brought to this place where we would have to trust in the Lord. The sad part about that is this, usually for us, and I said us, I just cut in front of the line. Usually for us, it's a last option. Because we try to exhaust all other avenues. I'm preaching it. We try to exhaust all other avenues. We try to do everything within our own power before we back up and say, Lord, I can't, but you can. And Jochebed was brought to this place, and after we've tried everything else, that she would have to trust the Lord, most likely because of her lineage, because coming from the Levitical priesthood. I want to slow down and teach just a little because there's a lot of things I want to bring out and I want you to get them this morning. She knew in her heart that God was a faithful God. She knew. She'd heard about them coming there after Joseph. She'd heard about the famine and the feast. She knew that God was a faithful God. But here in her heart, knowing this, knowing that God was faithful, was not enough. Watch this. Now the day had come where it was her baby boy. And she was going to have to trust the Lord. And you know what? It brings a question to my mind. How many of us today know that God is faithful, but we're a little scared to trust Him? He's faithful, but I hope I don't have to exercise my faith and actually trust Him. And she's at the place now where she knew that He was faithful. We see God do things for other people, but it's now that I need Him. And it's a lot easier to trust God when you're trusting Him for somebody else. But when I got to trust Him for me, it's completely different. We can know that God is faithful, but are we ready to trust Him for the need that I have no other option in? Think about what I'm saying. You can know that God is faithful, but are you ready to trust Him for your need when there's no other option? Jochebed had hid him as long as what she could. The Bible says, verse number 4, we'll bring that up for you, that she made an ark here. And this ark, that's not where I need to be, I'm sorry. She made an ark out of some material, that out of the bulrushes that she would place him in. And according to putting ourselves in the story, and I love the Bible. My dad taught me, pray before you read and ask the Lord to open it up. Brother James has taught me, put yourself there. I want you to go with me and try to put yourself there just for a moment. We have a mom that has hid her baby boy as long as what she could. And I believe with all of my heart she's instructed by the Lord to make this ark. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and watch this, dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and she put the child therein. So in other words, she had went down and took these leaves and put them all together, instructed by the Lord, and she places her baby inside of this ark and she makes a trip down. I can't imagine her heartbreak, but she's making her trip down to the Nile River, the bank of the Nile River. And when she gets down to the Nile River, according to the study that I found, the leaves that she made the ark out of are the same leaves that they're calling the flags there, laid it in the flags by the river's brink. It's the same thing. There's two reasons that she done this that I want you to understand. First of all, maybe, and again, I'm putting myself there and I'm asking you to go with me. Maybe she didn't want the current of the river to just carry him away, so she placed him in the flags because those big leaves would hold this baby ark or hold that ark there, and maybe she could come back and check on him or get him again or whatever the case may be, but she wasn't willing and ready to just put him out into the current and watch him go on his way by making the ark out of the same thing that she laid him in the flags of. You know what some deer hunters do? Not me. I'm just going to wear what I've got. I'm going to grab my Mountain Dew and go out there. If I see a deer, great. If I don't, listen, I'm going to shoot at one. He better come out before 8 o'clock because I'm going to get hungry and I'm going to breakfast. But a lot of deer hunters are serious about it. They spray stinky stuff on themselves. All kinds of stuff. More power to you. But they go out in camouflage because they want to mix in. She took the ark of bulrushes. The bulrushes and the flags are the same. Maybe it was that she wanted him to camouflage and mix in and lays him in the flags there so that he would not be as seen. Same material, place him not just to drift away, but to be hid. Listen, if she would have kicked him out into the Nile River, he would have went down into, or just kicked him out of the current, he would have been gone, and she would have pretty well been out of the picture at that moment. But let me tell you something about Jochebed. She was willing rather to hide her child there where he wouldn't just drift away, and she stayed in the fight. I'm going to come back and check on him. I may get to bring him home again. I'm going to come back and check on him. I'm going to see what's going on. That's my mentality, and that's where I'm putting that. Listen, you know what, moms? You can either, I've heard some say it before, and sadly, and it breaks my heart, you can either say, well, they're grown, let them go about their way, let them figure everything out on their own, or you can stay in the fight. Yes, the day may come when you have to let them stand on their own two feet, but you can still say, God, I have invested everything you've asked me to invest in their life. I believe the scripture, train up a child in the way they go, and when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. I refuse to let the world have them. I don't know what you're going to do in their life, but I know that you've got a plan, and Lord, when I can't, I know you can, and I trust you to take care of my child, protect them and watch over them, and let your will be done in their life. Thank God. There's a big difference in turning your child over to the world and just find their way and trusting the Lord to lead your child as they are grown and go on their way. And I want you to know this morning, I know it's not Mother's Day and maybe this would be a little bit more along the lines, but I want to encourage you. I've got a lot of moms in here today, and I'm begging and pleading with you today, don't let your child go. Don't just turn them loose. If you've got to let them go in the arms of one that is able to protect them. Listen, it's not even in my notes, but I don't care what their career is. I don't care what they've got in mind. I don't care what their plans are. All of it is a waste if they lose their soul. And God has trusted you to watch over them, protect them, and lead them to Him. My Lord, I want to preach that a little while. I'm careful because I watched, and me and Brother Tristan Caitlin has talked about it here lately, but I've watched the involvement that we see, the support. Trying to be careful, but I don't know how to be careful when I'm saying this. But when we support our children in everything else before more than we support them in the things of God, you don't have to worry about, am I going to lose your child? You lost your child. Because we will hand them over to the things of the world. Praise the Lord. Parents, God is trusting you to stand on the front line and to stay in the battle, stay in the place, and by faith place them in the trust of the Lord and pray for them that they will choose the path that God has for them. And most of the deciding factor there of choosing the path is they're going to watch those in their own home. Have they chose the path or have they disregarded the path of God? Hey man, that's good preaching. The ark and my research that she placed him in. One of the greatest types, and I'm going to bring it back in just a moment, but I want to draw your attention to the ark Go back to that verse I called off the wrong. There you go. The ark. We looked up that ark. We always say basket, and yes, she made a type of a basket. The ark there is one of the greatest types of the cross that we're going to find. Here's what I want you to see. The Nile River was a place of danger. The current continued in a place that it would take them further and further and further away. Just down the way from where they was at, according to the research I found, the Nile River was known to be full of alligators and all other types of predators. That was the Nile River there. The only thing between the Nile River and baby Moses was this ark that he was hid inside of. It kept him out of the Nile River. It kept him protected. It's probably a lid that was made over it because he's trying to camouflage him. It was the ark was the place of safety, and it stood between him and the current carrying him far away or the danger of anything that would be in the Nile River. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, there's only one thing that stands between us and carrying us away to extreme danger, taking us further than we want to go, keeping us longer than we won't want to stay, and keeping us from every type of predator that wants to destroy us, and that is the cross of Jesus Christ. It was the cross that stood between us and the penalty of sin, and it still stands today to save all of those that will call upon Jesus. The ark was there. The Nile River was a type of sin bringing ultimate destruction. But there the ark, a type of the cross, stood between the penalty of sin and us today. He was found there in the flags. Here's another truth. Now we can bring up verses 4 through 7. Here's what I want you to see. His sister, watch this. His sister, she's a family member. She stood afar off to wit or to watch what's going to be done with my little brother. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Verse number 6, when she opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." In verse 7, then said his sister, a family member, "To Pharaoh's daughter shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you." Watch what this sister does. This sister living in a home. The sister knowing the heartbreak of a mom. Knowing the danger that baby Moses is in now. She watches probably as her mom took the baby down and put him in the flags there next to the river. And here's the sister that's watching afar off. Wonder what's going to happen to my baby brother. Wonder how long he's going to float. I wonder how long he's going to stay. And as she's watching, she sees Pharaoh's daughter coming down and wash. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's daughter opens it up. And there's a baby. Here comes the sister. She gets down there to where she's at. All in, and they begin to talk, and she said, "Hey, you want me to go find a nurse for this baby if you want to keep it?" "Yeah, that's a great idea." So she took it, goes back to her home. "Mom, look what I've got. I got baby Mo. What are you doing?" "Well, Pharaoh's daughter found him and told me to bring him and find a nurse for him. And I thought, who better than your mom, than his own mom? And watch this, mom, she's going to pay you for it. She's going to give you money." And so now, mama's holding this baby, and she's nursing it, and she's getting paid for it to raise it. And this sister, you know what this sister done? And this is what I want to encourage you. This sister seen that there was a problem in her family. She seen there was a spiritual trial going on in her family. She knew that it directly involved her mom's heart, and baby Moses. But this sister stayed involved in the issue and in the problem. And this sister, instead of leaving, she stayed in the spiritual battle, and she watched, and she done what she could, probably praying because her mother brought her up that way. "Lord, what can I do? God, how can I intervene? God, is there anything I can do?" And when she seen the moment, she ran and got the baby, takes it back to her mama. I want you to know, family, you need to be attentive to the spiritual battle that is going on in your family. You need to bind together. You need to come together. You need to pray together. Nobody is going to intercede for you like your own intermittent family. Family needs family. So join together and be that rock that they need for each other. It may not directly involve you, but it may next time. It might next time. And his sister was a great tool. Told you I was going to slow down and teach. It's not working out real good for me. Placed it back in Jochebed's arms, and she's paid. But watch this. The day would come, she's got to give him back. You got to give him back. Learning to trust the Lord was not just a one-time event for Jochebed. And learning to trust the Lord for you is not just a one-time event. I trust Him for this and find Him faithful. And if I'll trust Him for the next thing, I'm going to find Him faithful again. So she had to give Him back. And Moses goes. And I want to bring some things out here. Moses goes. And the Lord, or Jochebed, will discover that God being faithful never ends for her. It never quits. All of this during the process, I want to ask you a question. I'm just trying to think outside the box and look into the text. But when I'm reading this story, there's a character that I don't read anything about. And I'm scratching my head and thinking, where's he at? And I know that the Holy Spirit had a reason for not interjecting him there in the text. But nevertheless, for teaching purposes and just to imply something, I want to ask you a question this morning. Where is Moses' father? Where's his dad? Where's Amram at? While they're going through all of this, where's he at? Maybe what he's doing is right. Maybe he's off somewhere else. But when we just read the story, it's a good question because it'll preach good. Where's dad at? Where's the head of the house? Where's the man that's a spiritual leader? Where'd he go? I mean, your family's being torn apart. Your child's being placed in the river. They're wanting to kill him. Mom and sister is involved. But where's dad at? Man, I want to tell you this morning. I know, it's good preaching. I want to tell you, you're still called to be the spiritual head of your family. I thank God for women that will stand up and receive the grace to take the place if they have to take that place and to stand strong for their family. But God has not called your wife to be the spiritual leader of your household. God called the man. We're made different for a reason, and according to the Bible, He gave us different positions in the family for a reason. God constructed the family to be of a man and of a woman, and these come together in the marriage covenant and join together, and He's got reasons for that. I'm not going to argue, but I want to tell you this. According to the Bible, any other joining together is wrong. And the man was placed there so that we could be that spiritual head, that leader, that strong support that we're supposed to be, to lead in prayer. Come on, man, I'm talking to you. Where are the dads leading them in prayer? Where's the dads that is saying, hey, I'll take this. Let me have that baby. Say and trust the Lord. Where's the dads that's watching along? Where's the dads that's seeking God and saying, God, what's next and what now? Where are they at? I'm preaching good. Broke my heart. Pastor Brian told me one time, it was a man that drove a school bus, also worked in the school. He said, superintendent come to him, said, anything you need? Is there anything you need? Anything we can do to make your job easier? He said, yeah. Can you find me a busload of dads? Putting family. I need a busload of dads. I need some dads there that will be that spiritual leader and to be the head of the house as they're supposed to be. Men, I'm not preaching just to men this morning, but I'm sure not leaving you out. It's high time that we took our place as the head of the house and the spiritual leader that we're supposed to be. It's high time that we hold the line, that we hold the fort, that we stand firm and we trust God for our family. I don't need my wife taking my position. I won't allow my wife to take my position. I will seek the Lord because God's got a proper channel. He'll speak to me, and then I am to lead my family. As Jesus is the head of the church, the man is still the head of the family. Men, I want to encourage you this morning to take your place as the head of your family. Now, Moses, watch this. Here's where we're at. She gives him back. He's being led by Pharaoh and the Egyptians. being raised by Pharaoh and the Egyptians, I got to think that probably Jochebed sees him every once in a while. She probably sees him. He's coming through on a chariot and she's just the slave. She probably sees him every once in a while. She probably thinks that her situation is getting worse because as Pharaoh's daughter, she's raising him to take up the position of Pharaoh. Watch this. He's living in the palace. He's got the best of the land. He's got all of the riches. He's got everything he wants. It had to cross her mind at some point. Why would he ever come back to the will of God? Why would he come back when he's got everything he needs? Her situation just got worse. It got worse and worse, and he's off doing his thing. But I bet it made this mama pray. Moses, raised by Pharaoh's daughter, she would be in line to be the next, he would be in line to be the next Pharaoh. While he's enjoying the riches, I can't imagine what his mama was thinking. Sadly, today, the situation is now worse. And there's been a lot of mothers that's thought this. Why would Moses follow the Lord when he's have all this offered to him at his fingertips? You ever feel like the situation just went from bad to worse? Come on, I'm still talking about trusting the Lord. It went from bad to worse. That's probably where Jochebed is. And then watch this. Moses sees one of the Egyptians abusing one of his brothers, so he kills him. He hoped he'd done it in secret. But the next day, the Hebrews come by and said, "Are you going to kill us too?" And he knew it was found out. So he ran, watch this, and was off in the desert. Before, Jochebed was seeing Moses every once in a while. Now he's gone for 40 years, and she had to think, is he alive? Where's he at now? At least before I was getting to see him. Well, ago we went from bad to worse. Now here we are. I'm talking about a woman that learned to trust God. We went from worse to hopeless. I have no hope because I can't even see him. And now she doesn't have a clue where he's at. And all she has is trusting the Lord with all of her heart. I'm about done. Give me just a couple of minutes. But what she found is that trusting the Lord would be all that she needed. And what else she found was this. God's plan for Moses was probably greater than what she ever imagined. Did she ever have a thought that this baby that I'm placing in the ark would grow up one day and be the great deliverer that we're crying out for? Did she ever have that thought? I don't know. But I know that he became the greatest type of Christ that the Old Testament gives us. And all of this, watch this, he became the deliverer they were seeking for. All of this unfolded because of mama, because Jochebed, who we know very little about, refused to let go of trusting the Lord. Instead, she placed him in the ark. She placed him. I'm going right back. Watch this. That's when it all began. Because where it all began is placing him in the ark, which is a type of the cross. Her trusting the Lord and seeing how faithful that God would truly be all began ark type of the cross. When she placed her faith in what Christ would do on the cross of Calvary. Because it was then that God could really reveal himself to her. She came back. Jochebed has left us with this great example. That if we will place our faith in Jesus and what he's done on the cross of Calvary, regardless of your situation, listen to what I'm about to say. Regardless of the situation, you need to know there is absolutely nothing that God cannot do for you. There's no limit to what the Lord can do for you if your faith is in Christ
and what he's accomplished on the cross of Calvary. To sum this up, I'll say this. She was brought to a place she had to trust. She found that she had to trust God over and over and over again, but she also found that God was faithful over and over and over again. And if God will do it for her, he'll do it for you today. This morning, Brother Jeff's coming. Mom, I want you to come and help me this morning also. Brother Jeff can grab his guitar and you can just follow along. I can fill in and where it's at. But I want you to stand with me this morning. I wanted to sing this chorus first time through just by herself with no music and then jump in right after. Read a story. Different accounts, but I read a story. The man back in, I believe it was 1938. Name is John Stallings. He was a man, he sang in quartets. He was an evangelist, a preacher. There was a time when his colleagues was noticing John's going through something. He's going through something. And they went to John. John, what is it you're facing? What is it you're going through? And there was never a clear answer that was given. Never a clear answer. One of his best friends come and said, trying to help, I just don't know how to help you. Will you tell me what you're going through? And he said, to be honest, I don't really know how to explain it and give you an answer that you're going to understand. John, as a pastor and as an evangelist at that time, he was also a songwriter. And one day while he was sitting in his, wherever he was sitting, he said he was in his prayer time calling upon the Lord. God, what is it I'm doing? What is it I'm going through? What is your plan? And they said, John Stallings put pen to paper. And they began to write this chorus.
Learning to lean. Learning to lean.
That's all.
I'm learning.
What are you doing, John?
To lean.
I'm just learning to lean
on Jesus.
This is what he said about it.
For I need
finding more power.
More power than I've ever.
Man, I feel that
dreamed.
This morning.
I'm learning to lean.
I'm just learning to lean
on Jesus.
One more time, just like that, Mom. Just let her sing it.
I'm learning.
Close your eyes and sing it with me. This is what I'm doing. This is all I'm doing.
Learning to lean.
I'm just learning.
I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
On Jesus. Here's what I found.
For I need
finding more
power than I'll
ever
need. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
One more time. Come on, sing it. Lift your voice.
Oh, I'm learning.
I'm just learning to lean, Lord.
To lean.
Hallelujah.
Learning.
Learning to lean.
To lean.
Hallelujah.
I'm learning.
To lean.
Oh
my
Jesus.
Finding more power.
Finding
more power. More power
than I've ever been.
I'm learning to lean
on Jesus.
That's our prayer this morning. I want to open the altars up as he continues to play. Maybe you're here this morning and you're learning to lean. You're having to learn to trust God greater than what you've ever had to trust him before. Listen, it's a good time to come together and pray and say, Lord, I know I may be having to trust you,
But as I look back, I've seen that every time I've trusted you, you've been faithful. And I believe that you're going to be faithful this morning. God, help our faith to not fail, but to continue to grow and mature in what Jesus has already accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Come on, it's a good time to come and to pray as she continues to sing it this morning. If that's you, come on, it's time to pray. Go ahead. On Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm learning to lean. Help me pray. Learning to lean.
If you were blessed by this message or you need prayer, please email us at faithworshipcenterar@gmail.com.